You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, One at Bat at a Time. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Did you have great plans for your life when you were young? Deep down inside, you hoped to do something great. But now what? Changing diapers? Doing taxi service for the kids? Punching the time clock? Struggling against an addiction? Shattered by divorce? Bored by your life? What is the stuff of your daily life? Probably a far cry from the grandiose plans of years ago. Sometimes, you may wonder if your life has any real meaning. Not to change the subject, but let's talk about baseball. Baseball championships are won one at-bat at a time. Through the 162 games of the Major League season, players step into the batting box time after time after time. The end result of all those at-bats is a world championship for one team, and for the other teams, the well-worn line, wait till next year. Oh, you'll have moments like Bobby Thompson's famous at-bat in 1951. The New York Giants and the Brooklyn Dodgers finished the regular season tied for first. Yes, younger fans, the Giants used to be the New York Giants, and the Dodgers used to live in Brooklyn. Tied for first, the Giants and Dodgers had a playoff series that was won by Bobby Thompson's dramatic home run, the shot heard round the world. As spectacular as that was, it was only the climax of a year of thousands of individual at-bats for the Giants. Baseball championships are won one at-bat at a time. Jesus teaches that it's in the little things that you win or lose the victory. He says in Luke 16, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with a lot. Whoever is dishonest with very little is dishonest with a lot." Therefore, if you can't be trusted with wealth that is often used dishonestly, who will trust you with wealth that is real? If you can't be trusted with someone else's wealth, who will give you your own? A servant cannot serve two masters. He will hate the first master and love the second, or he will be devoted to the first and despise the second. You cannot serve God and wealth. What are the little things in your life, those individual at-bats, in which you either get a hit or strike out before God? The list is as varied as the many situations we all encounter each day, and the list is as long as the day is long. Let me suggest some of your at-bats. Jesus mentioned wealth as one of the occasions where you do it right or you do it wrong before God. How about you? Do you consult your checkbook more often than the good book? Are you baby boomers planning your retirement financially but not spiritually? Is the wallet folded in your purse or pocket more important to you than your hands folded in prayer? How about those other daily situations where you either get a hit or strike out before God? How do you react when another driver cuts you off, almost causing an accident? Righteous anger? Or a torrent of cuss words at that blankety-blank bonehead driver? Are you ever the bonehead driver? Or answer this one. How have you reacted to changes in our culture? You may well have people in your extended family who live together without being married, or who make a case for abortion or assisted suicide, or who accept homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle. These were not acceptable in our culture a generation ago. Has your thinking changed? Has God's thinking changed? More questions. Does your heart hurt for the poor and oppressed? Are you truly concerned about racism in our society? And are you disciplining yourself to root it out of your own mind and speech? Again, do you entrust all your moments and all your cares to God, or do you struggle to make it on your own? Are you in the habit of daily prayer and Bible reading? Do you face the God of the universe before you go out and face the world each day? Whether it's money, which Jesus used to make his point in Luke 16, or other things, the little things in your life and mine make for at-bats before God. Each time in the box, you either act according to his will or you act against his will. Each time, you and I either strike out or get a hit before God. A servant cannot serve two masters. He will hate the first master and love the second, or he will be devoted to the first and despise the second. This is true whether you are a Christian or not, whether you are saved or not, whether you are justified through faith or mistakenly trust your own works and intentions before God, or anything else. God judges all people impartially. So how's your batting average? Does it seem pretty low? Mine seems that way too. Oh, I'd like to hit a home run for God every time, but I just can't. The explanation for our lack of perfection is simple. You and I are sinners. The psalmist says, I admit that I am rebellious. My sin is always in front of me. I have sinned against you, especially you. I have done what you consider evil. So you hand down justice when you speak, and you are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was born guilty. God is fully aware of your shortcomings and mine. He's got all the stats on our transgressions against his commandments. He knows better than you or I know the depth of our sin. The psalmist says, who can notice every mistake? Well, God knows. But unlike the normal rules of cause and effect, God has dealt with you differently. God did it this way. He sent Jesus Christ to pinch hit in your place. While the law, that is, the things that God says you should be doing or you shouldn't be doing, while the law condemns you and me as sinners and would throw us out of God's favor, Jesus Christ brings us back into the enjoyment of God's kindness. God sent his Son Jesus into the world to keep the law perfectly. That is, every moment of every day, Jesus of Nazareth did it right. He lived the way God wants a person to live. He batted 1,000. Jesus did that in your place. You might say, Jesus is the pinch hitter who did what you couldn't do. Jesus also did what you wouldn't want to do. He paid the eternal price for your sins. Because of our sins, your death would lead you and my death would lead me into an eternity of paying the price for what we have done wrong and failed to do right. And because God is just, he cannot ignore sin. Incidentally, this is another one of those at-bats where people so often strike out. Do you imagine that God is a doting grandpa who ignores sin? A little Bible study teaches that God is just, and his nature demands that sin against his holiness be punished. If that were not the case, God would not be the one supreme omnipotent God. Now, rather than punish you in hell, God's justice punished his Son Jesus at Calvary's cross. Jesus died for your sins. Again, he pinch hits for you before God. All that Jesus accomplished is yours through faith. The good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, is a powerful, attractive word that evokes faith. It calls you to acknowledge that your batting average is zilch, zero, and that your only hope is to stand each day with total dependence upon your substitute Christ. As you stand with Christ through faith, God looks at you and sees a holy person, one who keeps his commandments. As you stand in the batter's box with Christ, God sees you as one who is forgiven because of his Son. All of a sudden, your batting average before God has gone from zilch to 1,000. Without faith in Christ, your batting average remains zilch, zero. Hebrews 11, verse 6, no one can please God without faith. There are many people, many nominal Christians who are batting the big fat zero because they are trusting that they can justify themselves before God. The fact is, no one can. Psalm 143, verse 2 says, "Do not take me to court for judgment, because there is no one alive who is righteous in your presence." Even Christians cannot justify themselves before God. Only Jesus can do that. So if you choose to think that you're going to hit a home run in front of God without His forgiveness and help in Christ, you'll experience the consequences of your abysmal batting average. You cannot serve two masters. Question: does this mean that the Christian always does everything right? What about all those times when true Christians obviously do what is wrong? Those times which prompt the enemies of the church to say, "Your church is full of hypocrites." Let me ask you, does every batter always get a hit? Of course not. Does he get right back into the box and try again? Yes. And can the manager and fans and even the player himself hope to be pleased? Of course. Yes, sincere believers, going to heaven Christians, often strike out in the little things of life. That doesn't end your career as a Christian. If you're sincere, you'll get right back into the box and try to get a hit. Theologically, we can say it this way. Even though God's Word unites us to Christ, true Christians often fail to act in a way that is consistent with salvation. We've been saved from sin by Christ, and therefore we should reject sin at every opportunity, but we too often fail. Christians are often seen acting in a way that is inconsistent with the truth of our forgiveness from sin. These inconsistencies which we Christians commit do not invalidate Christianity. Instead, the sins Christians commit are a reminder that we need to live more and more according to God's will in Jesus. Just like a baseball manager having a talk with a player and telling him to remember the basics, our daily sins call us back to the basics of living a life that is consistent with our forgiveness. This is repentance. Repentance means that you and I say, "Holy Father, I went to bat on my own. I forgot I'm yours, and therefore I struck out. Father," we should pray, "forgive me once again for Jesus' sake. Through the word of the gospel, may your Holy Spirit unite me more perfectly with my Savior, so that I might do the good which you desire me to do, and in him please you with every single at-bat of my life." This is repentance in baseball imagery. St. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 6. "What should we say then? Should we continue to sin so that God's kindness will increase? That's unthinkable. When we were baptized into his death, we were placed into the tomb with him. As Christ was brought back from death to life by the glorious power of the Father, so we too should live a new kind of life. If we've become united with him in a death like his, certainly we will also be united with him when we come back to life as he did. We know that the person we used to be was crucified with him to put an end to sin in our bodies. Because of this, we are no longer slaves to sin. The person who has died has been freed from sin. If we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, who was brought back to life, will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once and for all to sin's power. But now he lives, and he lives for God. So consider yourselves dead to sin's power, but living for God in the power Christ Jesus gives you." Do you sometimes think that your life has little meaning? The greatest meaning any life can have is to be found in the little things that are the subjects of repentance. You'll not find your significance in those grandiose accomplishments that most of us never achieve. You'll never find the deepest satisfaction of your life in your career. No, the meaning of your life is best found when you pursue the little things that are presented to you each day and you strive with God's help to live consistently with the truth that you're a loved and a saved sinner. A life of striving to be faithful in the little things will have many rewards, and not the least of which is satisfaction with yourself. The story of a great baseball player is apropos. Yesterday, August 17th, was the date in 1933 when Lou Gehrig of the Yankees broke the record for consecutive games by playing in his 1,308th game in St. Louis against the Browns. Gehrig went on to play in 2,130 consecutive games. That amazing record of persistence was broken last year by Baltimore's Cal Ripken, who's still going at it. Consider Gehrig's stats. He played 2,164 regular season games. He had 8,001 at-bats. He had 2,721 hits and 789 strikeouts. While those are great statistics baseball-wise, they're nothing compared to your batting average as you live each moment of each day in union with Christ. So, know now that your life has meaning. You have a Savior. And this week, step into the box with a passion to live with Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.